Good evening, and welcome to It Matters Radio with your hosts Monica Brinkman, Kenneth Weens, and Kerry Hall. It Matters Radio offers you the very best, with meaningful conversations on new music, new books, and fun topics. It Matters Radio searches for and discovers the depth, diversity, and meaningfulness of topical subjects. It Matters Radio, with a caring, guest-focused, enjoyable atmosphere. Join us, won't you please, for It Matters Radio. If there's music to enjoy, a great story to be told, and wonderful topics to discuss, it matters. And now here are the hosts of It Matters Radio, Monica, Ken, and Kerry.
Hello, welcome everyone. How are you? I know it's Olympic night tonight, so many of you might be listening to us in podcast, but that's okay. We're here for your enjoyment. So how you guys doing tonight, Ken, Kerry?
Wonderful. What a great ad.
Great.
Fabulous.
Much better than the other one that we had on, I have to say that.
Oh, it's fabulous. Oh, my gosh. Great.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So
we
I
have to have a
shout-out like
to Bill Chamberlain and Don Sinclair, because that was a fabulous ad.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a great job, and they're going to be back on the show in April. So their work. Yeah.
Tonight we have another great guest. I'm really glad that Jan McInnes was able to rejoin us this evening because, unfortunately, we did have that hacker problem. And Jan is a very funny lady, and she had just sent me a list of her baby boomer comedy shows and where she's appearing. And so in our last newsletter, I mentioned all these shows, and, oh, gosh, she's in Ohio and Texas and Florida and Illinois, all over the place. And so I'd really like to welcome Jan McInnes, who's spent the past 17 years as a professional speaker, comedian, and comedy writer. She's been featured in the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post. She's shared some of her humor with thousands of organizations, from the Federal Reserve Bank to the Mayo Clinic and all over the place. You may have heard some of her material on the Tonight Show monologues and hundreds of radio stations. And I think she's done some stuff on Jerry Springer, which made her parents very proud. She's the author of a book called Finding the Funny Fast, How to Create Quick Humor to Connect with Clients, Coworkers, and Crowds. And now, she was born in Washington, D.C., and Jan, she started out in junior high. I guess rather than put her in detention, they put her in charge of Joke of the Day. And she went on from there, and I think she now has a monthly gig on a fairly famous radio show, Ted Ellen's show, on WIJN. And you can find out a lot more about her at her website, which is www.theworklady.com. That was that really brief introduction. Hey, Jan, how are you this evening?
I'm good. That is a great introduction, but boy, I think our time is over, huh?
No,
thanks for having me on the show again, you guys.
Jen. So, Jen, tell me the secret of connecting to people. I've always figured that there were two parts. So, one is you could share their grief, and the other is you could share their laughter. And between you and me, I prefer a laugh. What about you?
I agree. I think laughter. But you know what? It's interesting because I'm writing my second book now, and I'm talking about a lot of the experiences I have in comedy, and I'm starting the book out with failures, because that is sort of the thing that connects us all is failure. But I think funny is failure. Talking about how it would be funny in failure. But, yeah, laughter does connect us all, and it's nice when you get on stage and you connect with people instantly because they get it. They understand what you're saying, and they've been there. They've had the problems with whatever subject you're talking about, kids or family or weight loss or whatever it is, and they connect immediately.
Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to connect with you, what do you think would be the most obvious, if I met you in person, what would be the most obvious common thing that you'd have in common with me? And I pick me because, oh, I'm just, you know, your average run-of-the-mill.
How would I connect with you instantly? Well, when I meet people for the first time, I try to kind of size them up. I try to connect with them on, you know, vacations they've taken or family stuff. There's all sorts of ways you can connect with people, even if you come from different walks of life.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't know. How would you connect with me?
How do you know when you, I mean, you do some big things. I've seen some video of you up in front of big crowds. I got to tell
millions
you, if I were up on that stage, I'd be hiding behind the curtain. But
you
get out there and you have them laughing. And
well,
it seems to me that you have a flair for it.
Well, thank you. I try to, you know, when I go into any town, I try to find something. Usually people like to hear about their town and themselves. That's really a good way to connect with people. Like yesterday, I was in front of 550 people in a little town called San Angelo, Texas. It was for the American Heart Association, their Go Red event. And I got on stage, and I instantly connected by talking about their airport. I said, you know, I got here, and I understand that I was talking to some people, and they said, San Angelo is a great place to live. People move here. They never leave. I said, I know, because I saw your airport. And because their airport is tiny. All right, instant connection. People get
Nobody's
it.
Nobody's getting
out
of the
plane. Yeah, but it's also not insulting because they get it. They knew it was a small airport. I mean, literally, I got off stage at 5 minutes of 1. My flight was at 1:50, and I got there.
Mm-hmm.
I had 4 minutes to spare, but I got there and made the flight. So, you know, but people like to connect about themselves. And so if you find something about them, instantly when you're in front of a crowd, something about their town or their event or something, you really can have a lot of fun with that.
That's interesting because you're there for the Heart Association, but you don't start out with the heart or something heavy. Like you start kind of on the periphery, the airport. Now, I'm pretty sure you must have had some jokes about health and heart and
You know what I
like
did
that.
In the middle of it? I did my comedy, and then I talked about for about 10 or 15 minutes about humor and your health, because there's all sorts of studies coming out about how great humor is for your health and things like everything from, you know, opening up your blood vessels so you have less chance of heart attack or stroke, to helping with good cholesterol levels, to even burning calories. All sorts of good studies. So I had some fun with that, but I didn't start right into it. I started connecting with things that we all get. Understand, you know, kids and family and their airport and things like that.
Yeah, I got to interrupt you here to tell you that we have a note in the chat room from somebody who is from Texas, and she said, quote, I've lost my luggage at San Angelo Airport. Now, from what I've heard about...
That's pretty easy. How did you do that?
Wow.
So I have to say, I got a ride over there with another woman yesterday who was also catching my flight. And we got to the airport. They had the toughest security. We got through the security. They practically strip searched her. She apparently had brought some coffee creamer on, and they didn't like that. And she almost missed the flight. I said, look, I'm going to run up and hold the plane for you. I think I could stand in front of it and hold the plane and get you finished your strip search there. But they were tough on security, so... I don't know. Maybe they are good at losing luggage.
They actually put two of you on the same plane, huh? One of the big ones.
She was not a comedian. She was a person in the audience, but she was nice enough to give me a ride to the airport when she found out I needed to catch the same flight as her.
Wow.
So you'll go anywhere if there's a good reason. What are some of the other groups that you've done humor for?
I do a lot of healthcare events. They really get it. You know, they understand that you've got to laugh and have some fun. So I do a lot of conventions, healthcare groups, doing a lot for the American Heart Association. That's probably my fifth or sixth Go Red event. I've done some for hospitals. They have Spirit of Women events. I've done those. Done financial groups. Surprisingly, I've done spoken to four of the Federal Reserve banks. I have a keynote titled Finding the Funny in Change, where I talk about using humor to handle change and diffuse tension and that sort of thing. And I've done the four of the Federal Reserve banks because they, you know, they get it. They wanted to have a little fun yet some good tips in their event, and so they hired me. I've been everywhere except
Alaska. Did they
Alaska.
Actually pay you?
Somebody can get me to Alaska. Oh, yeah, they paid me. Yeah, they did. They opened the
I didn't know the Federal Reserve gave money to anyone. I'm like, okay.
They opened up the money vault. Let me just walk in and grab a handful. So that was perfect. It was like a 30 seconds, whatever you can grab, and so I did. It was great. But I'll tell you, if anyone can get me to Alaska, that's the only state I have not worked in. So I'll do something in Alaska for a dollar. If you fly me, just get me to Alaska.
Well, okay, Alaska, you hear that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, higher. Yeah, for sure, higher.
Yeah.
How about overseas?
Wanna...
Have you gone to other countries too? Or you strictly?
I don't know. Is Canada considered another country? So I've performed in Canada.
That's
my only TV credit. I did a TV show in Canada, and I think I've done a couple of gigs up there, and. New Mexico is considered another country, correct?
Yep.
I'm joking. No, I haven't done a lot. There's an Edinburgh festival that I would like to go to. I have not done that yet, but that's on the plate someday.
Wow. I'll tell you another place you should really go to do, seriously. Our music guest this evening, who was great, by the way, he's from Auckland, New Zealand. Well, they have some festivals in New Zealand. We've been there in New Zealand, my wife and I. And I have to tell you, some in Wellington, they do an annual festival. And, boy, those folks in Auckland and in New Zealand know how to laugh.
Oh, really? So, oh, I'll have to check it out. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like, I listened to some of the interview you had with him. Good point he made about making this a business, because it really – too many entertainers don't think of it as a business. It is a business, and luckily I figured that one out from the beginning, that it's fun to, you know, sit around coffee shops and say I'm going to write and spend my day doing that. But really, you got to spend your day marketing as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Which brings me back to your book.
Stay with us. It Matters Radio continues right after this.
Are proud to announce the winners of our Valentine's Day special, folks. It's airing next Thursday, February 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern. So join us in congratulating the following: Diane Denton, Beth Budetsky, Kayla, Salvatore Butacci, Mark Murphy, and Lucille Barker for their fine writing and musical compositions. It's all about love and relationships, so join us next Thursday evening. You won't be disappointed. Now back to you, Ken.
Thank you, Ken. Well, I was just saying we have to mention your book again because I want people to go buy it. Speaking of business, right?
Yeah.
And it's called Finding the Funny Fast. It's by Jen McInnes. It's available, I know, on Amazon. Where else can they get it?
Pretty much Amazon.
Okay, pretty much Amazon.
Amazon is pretty much where I'm. I was doing some fulfillment through my website, you can go to my website and theworklady.com and get it there as well. I got a lot of people asking me how do I write comedy so fast, and so I finally got tired of saying it, so I put it in the book. It's a really small book, it's easy to read and easy to figure out. So.
Yeah, I sent a copy of it to my nephew. He has always claimed that he wanted to be a comedy writer, so I sent him the book, and I suggested that he get honest work because, unfortunately, he's not funny. But you've got some great chapters in here, and, like, you know, just simple things, like a chapter on self-deprecating humor, for example. Irony. Different types of jokes.
Yeah, it's all sorts of easy tips because people hear all the time, I'm not funny, I can't do it. You can do it. You may not want to take the time to do it, But you can do it. And, I mean, I was the marketing person for 15 years before I became a comedian. And so nobody, you know, said, oh, Jan, go over and get on stage. I didn't have a lot of people telling me to do that. So I just did it and tried it, and I learned a lot how to write, just sort of trial and error. So really take the tips, and you can add some humor, whether you're just a person who works in the office and wants to make the memo funnier, or you know, have to give a speech at your company and you just want to be a little funnier, you know, use a couple tips and spice it up a little bit.
I think that's excellent advice, and this is a really excellent resource. And I noticed that you sent us an extra copy. So if somebody would like to contact us through the It Matters Radio Show website and ask for a copy of this, I actually have an extra one. I have an extra copy, thanks to Jan McInnes of her book, Finding the Funny Fast. And I'll pay the postage.
Aww,
yes, you are.
So
and
too.
I'll pay the postage on it. So, hey, somebody would like to improve their delivery and get their speeches to work better, or maybe they just would like their kids to stop throwing things at them at dinner. So, you know, I find...
You know, what's worse than that is having a kid trying to be a comedian at dinner every night.
Well, Jen, we do have an interview with your parents coming up. Is that what we're going to find out about?
An interview with my parents? Oh, gosh, I hope not. I'll have to get to them first.
Okay. So what if you wanted to tell a joke right now, which do you have like a store of jokes that you have in your mind? Like, you know, like that Milton Berle used to have. He used to have a card catalog of jokes. Or do you just go with the moment?
I have a basic set that I do. So, and then I add to it as I come up with new stuff or as I write stuff for the group. But I got a basic set. I don't have a card catalog. I saw Joan Rivers, and I saw her documentary. She has a huge filing cabinet full of jokes. I wish I had that. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's interesting about jokes is you can reuse them as far as like if you do. I used to write a lot of topical stuff about the news, people in the news,
mm-hmm.
and you know, 20 years ago, you know, you could write about the crazy celebrity. Well, you know what? Guess what? 20 years later, there's another crazy celebrity. Insert their name. You can use a joke again. So
absolutely.
You can always reuse stuff. You know, you just you know. Unfortunately, I don't have a card catalog, and I forget the jokes. And then once I decide, okay, that joke's done, I don't use it again, and
well,
I forget about it.
I tell you what, Kim, why don't we play Kids, and we can give a sample of why we just adore Jan and her comedy so much. Here you go.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
How are you guys? Good? Good? Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
It's good to be here, man. Good to see everybody out, having some fun here. I'm actually having a pretty good week myself. I just became an aunt again. Woohoo! Yeah, now that my sister has kids, the only gifts she gives me are pictures of them. Yeah, I don't have any kids, so I sent her a picture of me sleeping in on Saturday. Oh, man, kids are expensive for us aunts and uncles, aren't they, huh? Yeah, we got to buy them gifts. I found a way to get revenge. I now only buy accessories to stuff they don't have. That's right. Every one of my gifts cost my sister $300. I can't wait until Christmas. My niece is going to love her new saddle. Yeah. My sister just adopted a baby from Bogota, Colombia. Yeah, somebody just actually asked her if the baby will speak English. Thank you. Yes. Language is learned. Stupidity is hereditary. Now, my other sister has two kids from Romania, as we call them Olympic hopefuls. My niece came with her own balance beam. Yeah, I got my sister a baby gift, too. I got her one of those motorized swings, the Neglect-O-Matic. Put the kid in with some Cheerios, wind it up, release him when he's 18, huh? I'm giving y'all some ideas tonight, aren't I, huh? All right, I don't have kids, man. I'm dating somebody with teenagers, though. Woohoo! Yeah, lucky me, huh? What do you mean you won custody? You don't win. If they were the prize at a lottery, nobody buy a ticket, right? Oh, man. My parents like it because we're all grown up and out of the house. Isn't that the best part, huh? Yeah, yeah. My parents like it. My mom came out to visit me in Los Angeles. They're from Virginia. I grew up there. They came out to visit me. We went to Disney, sitting in one of those 3D movies, you know, where you wear the glasses and the stuff is popping out at you. Yeah, 5 minutes in, mom leans over. She's like, Jan, this stuff is coming right at me. Switch seats with me. Coming right at me too, Mom. I love my parents. If I was going to have kids, I'd have two. I'd name them after my parents, Jim and Joanne. Make it a lot more fun to spank them. They might get a few extra spankings out of that, huh? Now, my parents liked having four kids because we were all grown up and out of the house. Isn't that the best part, huh? Yeah, yeah. They actually got that empty nest syndrome, so they replaced us with cats. Yeah, I know, with cats, my parents have found what they always want with kids. Cats clean themselves, they don't talk back, in a fit of anger, they will survive a drop in the second-story window. I don't know. I don't know anything about kids. I've never had them. I have taken care of a dog for like 15 years. I just applied the same methods. The other day, I was babysitting my nephew. He threw a temper tantrum. I didn't know what to do until I remembered, you know, my dog settled down quite a bit once he was neutered. My brother was mad. I got a cat now. I got a cat. I've got my cat for 17 years. Yeah, I love my cat, but that's a long time, man. How long do they live? Of course, the other day I caught her staring at me, you know, thinking the same thing. People treat their pets like people, don't they, huh? Yeah, I saw a TV show, a woman had a dog with obsessive compulsive disorder. I'm not making this up, folks. The dog had a stick, and he'd run around the backyard, he'd bury it, unbury it, all day long with a stick. She finally put the dog on Prozac. Yeah, $75 a month. I'd throw away the stick. Just a thought, man. Now we got all these rules for kids. No child left behind is a big one, huh? When I went to school, that was a motto for the school bus driver. I can't believe my dad survived four kids growing up, though, right? Every gift we gave Dad was deadly. Think about it. We made him ashtrays, you know, gave him cigars, razors, beer mugs. We gave him a radar detector once. Hey, Dad, smoke, drink, drive fast. We love you. Got all our gift ideas from Mom. Caught her staring at him thinking, how long do they live? They were also very overprotective growing up. Do you ever do this with your kids? Whenever one of our pets would die, they'd secretly replace it so we wouldn't get upset. Like, I'm not going to notice, you know, before school I say goodbye to Brownie the hamster. I come home, he's Casper the white lab rat. I never missed a day of school. I saw what happened to you when you stayed home with Mom. I think I don't want to have kids. I don't want to pass on my genes. I think that's it with the kids. The most prominent feature about my whole family, we all have big feet. You guys can see my shoe size. That is actually a 12 triple A. Thanks for making me feel good. All right, yeah. I'm okay with it now, but it was embarrassing in first grade. One day our class went on a nature hike. The park rangers came across my footprints, closed the park, spent the weekend tracking me. Yeah. Those tranquilizer darts hurt. So I remember the stuff I used to do as a kid, too, man. Like the time I used Mom's birth control pills in my science fair project. Science people out there, you might know this. The estrogen in those pills makes plants grow. Yeah, I won the science fair that year. Man got a new baby sister. Oh, good. You're getting the science stuff. All right, there we go. Oh, man. What a fun crowd, man. We got parents in the crowd there, huh? Yeah, we got a lot of parents out there. I don't know. Speaking of kids, I went to my class reunion recently. Yeah, I was on the committee. I was in charge of the invitations, so there weren't any cheerleaders there this year. Oh, yeah. That was a fun one. That was 30 years. 10 years, not so much fun, right? Everybody's all married, you know? 30-year class reunion, all the women got their maiden names back. They're ready to party. Some of y'all get that later. All right, that was.
I have heard that now 3 or 4 times, and I'm still laughing.
Oh, you guys are nice.
I love thinking about the cat scan. Being a cat person, that just made me find that I couldn't help but laugh. It was great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You guys are so nice. Well, I've heard it a million times, and I still laugh sometimes.
Well, just to get that name of that book in one more time, it's called Finding the Funny Fast. It's by Jan McInnes, and we have been having a great time interviewing her on It Matters Radio this evening. And really
thank you guys so much.
Coming on.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, thanks for coming back. You've been a real sport. I mean, that last experience was one we'll never forget.
Pretty bad, yeah.
That's okay. This is better. This is getting me another second shot at it. That's great.
That's right. Well, be sure and let Ken know. Keep letting us know the places
absolutely.
You're going to be so we can tell
yeah.
them.
Yeah, keep sending me those newsletters, and I'll keep telling all our fans and followers about the things you're doing, Jan.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. I will. You're on the list for life. You can't get off if you try.
Okay.
Hey, when you get done with that book, let us know, okay?
Oh,
yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Come back on.
I will. I'll read the book to you.
We'll
do a reading. How's that?
We'll do a reading, yeah.
If you get if it's as good as your delivery, great.
We would love it. We would absolutely love it. Okay. Well, everybody, if you love Jan's comedy as much as we did, I know that all of us couldn't stop laughing throughout this. The people in the chat room were just saying they were cracking up there. So she's fantastic. And if you want to get a little bit of humor in your own life, please get her book. It's wonderful. You will really, really enjoy it. Thanks so much for being on, and keep in touch.
Oh, thanks a lot. You guys take care, and thanks again for having me. Good night.
Yep.
Good night. Bye-bye.
This has been It Matters Radio with your hosts Monica Brinkman, Kenneth Waynes, and Carrie Hall. It Matters Radio offers you the very best with meaningful conversations on new music, new books, and fun topics. It Matters Radio searches for and discovers the depth, diversity, and meaningfulness of topical subjects. It Matters Radio. Thank you for joining us this evening because it matters.